Okay. All right. Appreciate that. look with me in the Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm. We are a blessed people. Hallelujah. Our faith life, church families, and all of our partners. We are so blessed. The blessed people call us blessed. We are highly favored, kept and protected, prospered. And it's not because, you know, that we're any better or smarter than anybody else. It's the goodness of the Lord. If you'll give Him place, He'll do it for anybody. And that's some of what we're talking about in this series we began a few weeks back. We're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. In Psalm 34, you'll see this mentioned more than once. He said, verse 7, Psalm 34, 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him, that fear the Lord, and the angels deliver them." This is protection. Does the Lord do this for everybody on the planet?
No.
No, He doesn't. Does everybody on the planet reverence Him and fear Him?
No.
No, they don't. Does He owe protection to everybody on the planet?
No.
Including those that, denounce His existence.
No.
And reject all of His things. This is something important to note, because even though people, when they hear it put like that, they know the reasonable answer is no, still people act like that everybody on planet Earth is owed a good life. Why? Why would they be owed a good life? Well, everybody deserves to have a good life. Do they?
No.
Why? Why would they be owed protection, blessing, favor, just because they were born? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
The truth is, they're not. It's not owed to everybody on the planet. That's why you see phrases like this. Who gets the protection of God's holy angels? Those that fear Him, right? Not everybody. Those that fear Him. Keep going. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? Well, does God owe blessing to everybody on the planet? Does everybody on the planet trust Him?
No.
Certainly not. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. No want. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yeah.
No want. Well, the Lord keeps us, and we have no want. No lack. I'm talking about our churches and our ministries and our things. And I believe it's because to some degree, we do fear Him.
Right. Yes.
We do reverence Him. And we're believing to learn how to do it better. And more. And that's one of the reasons we got these words over the top of our platform, both here and in Branson. What the Lord say? To them that honor Me, I will honor. He goes on to say, those that despise Me will be lightly esteemed. So will everybody be honored the same?
No,
they won't. And here we see the contrast of what's honor and what's not honor. Honor is seeing Him as important, as valued. The word literally means heavy. And heavy meant back in the day when if something was really expensive, you had to put a lot of precious metal on one side of the scale to pay the price. And if it wasn't very expensive, then it was a light amount. And we still use that phrase today in modern vernacular. If you treat something lightly, you treat it like it's not important. And you'll find that that's happening. In too many places, people are treating God's things like they don't matter.
Right.
They don't matter at all. Somebody say, that's not me.
That's not me.
We do fear the Lord.
Yes, we do.
In the right ways, which means we reverence Him. We respect Him. We honor Him. And what we've been getting into, how to do that, and one of the big ways that that is revealed, whether it's there or not, is how you talk.
Amen.
Your words.
Yes.
Your mouth. How you talk about things. You speak for things or you speak against things. It reveals if you fear the Lord or not. And how much you do or don't. So we can find out where we are by listening to ourselves. And this is also how we'll see that we grow, that we increase, our words change. But it's not just empty words, it's words connected to a heart. Right? How we see things, how we view things, how we hold things in our esteem. Or how we value these things. He goes on to say, in verse 11, come, you children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. If it can be taught, it can be learned.
Right?
And sadly, many, many people today have grown up in places or homes, whatever, where the fear of the Lord was lacking. It either wasn't there at all, or it wasn't there the way it should be. And so now they have grown up and are adults, and they don't have the fear of the Lord like they should. But you can still learn. Somebody said, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You ain't an old dog. You're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, right? And you should be learning new things all the time. We should be growing, developing, increasing all the time in the things of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We saw this. This is so big. I'm having to condense it. Are you believing with me?
Yes.
You go to 2 Timothy 3, please, and I'll review just a little bit while you're going there. You're going to 2 Timothy 3. And if you would, put on the screen for us Proverbs 1:7. We'll move a little quicker this way. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. Let me say something now. We're not opposed to higher education. But you don't, no matter how much school or university or books you read or degrees you have, you don't begin to know anything worth knowing until you start showing your Creator some respect.
Amen.
That's what this means.
Yes.
And the thing is, you can have been in school for 30 years and you could have passed all the exams and all that. But the thing is, who was teaching your class?
Right.
Who wrote the books?
Yes.
Are they right?
Mm.
What do they know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you don't respect God, for one thing, the Bible, which is the most important knowledge, will be a closed book to you.
That's right.
You might be considered a genius by other people in the world, but if you don't respect God and you treat God like He doesn't exist, no respect at all, you won't be able to even understand this book. Huh? I don't care how much of a genius you imagine yourself to be. Because only the Holy Spirit can open your eyes, open your heart, and let you see. Well, if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you don't believe in God, it's all closed to you. Your eyes are blind, your ears are closed, your heart is closed. Oh, but when you come to the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible said when you turn to the Lord,
Amen.
The veil is taken away.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And the great thing about it, you don't have to be a scholar. Huh? Maybe you didn't finish high school. You didn't finish grammar school. But if you're born again and you know the Holy Spirit, you got the greatest professor who ever existed living on the inside of you, and he knows how to teach you. He knows how to talk to you, and he can bring you all the way up and all the way out. Hallelujah. Into revelation that angels used to desire to look into. There's no limit. It's not about how smart you imagine yourself to be. It's about your heart. Your heart. What kind of heart you have. And knowledge, real knowledge, knowledge that's worth knowing, begins with a heart that bows the knee. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Bows the knee to the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And open your mouth and you say, thank you, Lord, for giving me existence. Thank you, Lord, for the gravity that holds my feet on the ground. Thank you for the air that I breathe. Huh? Thank you for letting me exist and have a life. And thank you for loving me so much that you gave Jesus to redeem me. You do that genuinely, you are on a track of enlightenment. True enlightenment. True knowledge. True understanding, real wisdom. It starts there. If you don't begin there, you don't start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice the rest of the verse. But fools do what? Despise wisdom and instruction. So this really helps you to understand some things about the fear of the Lord. Despising is the opposite of fearing. Do you see this?
Yes.
Despising is the opposite of fearing the Lord. This word is also translated light, like we already mentioned. Treating it like it doesn't matter. Treating like it's nothing. The fear of the Lord's the opposite. That means you treat it like it is all important. Like it is the most important. And so, like we said, this will be revealed in how you talk. In 2 Timothy 3, did you find it? 2 Timothy 3:1. Know this, he said, in the last days. Well, when is that? Well, we're later than anybody's been so far. Is that right? So if they thought it was late then, it's later now. In the last days, what? Perilous times shall come. Keep going. Men will be lovers of their own selves. And that is in contrast to loving God. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And this is something that you see, people who blaspheme don't know God. And they have no fear of God. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. You know how you treat other people? The Bible told us to honor our father and mother. Now that doesn't mean they have to do everything right. Now as a child is supposed to listen to their parents. But an adult, that doesn't mean your mother and father run your life as an adult.
That's right.
But you are still supposed to honor them and show them respect. Not because of what they've done or haven't done, but because of who they are.
That's right.
Huh? God chose that you were born to these people and or they were the ones who raised you. Right? And you could have been born 500 years ago. You could have been born in a different part of the world to somebody else, and you want to always show respect for that. Well, they didn't do some things right. Well, you hadn't done some things right. Let's just get over that. But what am I saying? You show them respect. The main reason you show them respect is because God told you to.
Amen.
No matter how they might act or not act, He told you to treat them a certain way. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And you do it if for no other reason, solely because He told you to.
That's right.
Out of the fear of the Lord, you treat His people differently.
Yes.
Not based on their performance.
Yes.
So a lot of people never learn this.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If there's somebody to Him, that's all you need to know.
Yes.
If He picked them, If he chose them, He called them, He anointed them, that's all you need to know.
Amen.
You treat them in a honorable way, even if they're making mistakes. It goes on to say, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. That's that word. Can you see the rest of these words? These are people who don't know God.
Right?
Right? All these things He's talking about. We could camp on any one of these, but keep going. Go over to, let's see, 2 Peter. We're identifying now the fear of God. We're identifying the lack of it. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. 2 Peter 3:3. He said, know this first, that there shall come in the last days. Now see, that's the same thing we read in Timothy. There'll come scoffers. Now that's the same word for mocker. Mocker. Scoffing, mocking, walking after their own lusts. And they'll say things like this: where's the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yeah, these church-going folks, especially these Pentecostals, these... been hollering about Jesus is coming. What? Centuries. Hundreds of years. We ain't seen no Jesus come. See, these are people who have no fear of the Lord. And that's how you talk when you have no fear of God. Keep reading. He said, this they willingly are ignorant of. Now that's folks that can't be helped. They're ignorant, and they like it.
Yes.
Now, being dumb is bad. But being dumb and thinking you're smart, that's really bad.
Right.
Not knowing you're dumb. They willingly are ignorant. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear the truth. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water... the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. Now, you know, you can believe what you want to about this, but my understanding is this is back before Genesis. This is not Noah's flood. And when the flood came in Noah's time was not the first time a flood had come. In Genesis... darkness was on the face of the deep, and what? Waters covered everything, right? And where'd the dinosaurs come from? They're buried under all of this, and so a whole lot of things happened before. And what he's saying is he's trying to help people get some perspective, because people are saying, look, it's been 100 years. It's been 500 years. It's been 1,000 years. It's been, you know, and these people hollering about and preaching in church, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. They're just religious fools. He's saying they're willing, these people that talk like this, they are willingly ignorant. And they are clueless as to the history of the planet.
Right.
Keep reading. This is the next verse. The heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved to fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now remember, he said they are willingly ignorant of this. And he said, now believers, don't you be ignorant. Right? Somebody say, I'm not ignorant.
I'm not ignorant.
Don't be ignorant of this one thing. What? One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one time, as one day. So our time perspective, we think 100 years is a long time. It's no time at all.
Yes.
To God, a millennia, 1,000 years is like, the psalmist said, like a watch that's passed in the night. How does last night seem to you? Can anybody remember last night? Huh? Or yesterday? It was Saturday. Huh? To God, that's how the last 1,000 years is. That's how he perceives time. And he's right. We're the ones that don't see it right. We're the ones that think 100 years is a long time because this is all we've ever known. But when the Lord says, I'm coming. I'm coming soon. Well, half a day would be soon.
Amen.
That's 500 years.
Huh?
But if he says he's coming,
he's coming.
No matter what you think. Huh? And if you had any sense, you'd show some respect. And say, well, I don't know exactly when, but I know I need to be ready.
Yeah.
I need to be ready. I need to be ready. When do I need to be ready, church? Come on, help me. I need to be ready today because I don't know when. And these people who are thinking, well, you know, I'm going to party hard and maybe, you know, a week before I die, I'll get saved and I'll slide in, you know. You assuming a lot of stuff. First of all, you got to live out the week. Right? Uh-uh. That's a fool who thinks like that, who talks like that. I mean, scores of thousands of people die every 24 hours somewhere on the planet. And I assure you, many of them are young. Many of them are young, middle-aged. And I assure you, again and again, throughout these scores of thousands that'll die before this day is over, as they leave their bodies, they'll think, I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time. But you and I don't have to be like that. We can live each day to the full, endeavoring to obey Him, respect Him, reverence Him, and live so that we have no regrets. Right? And then when we do leave, we depart to be with Christ, which is far better than being here. Can you say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Go to the second chapter of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 and 10. We're saying we're learning what the fear of the Lord is by learning what it's not. And you'll see it by how people speak. 2 Peter 2 and 10. He says, chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now that's government of any kind. That's what we're seeing that has increased in the last few years.
Amen.
That you see some of the protest in the streets, especially in some of the large liberal cities, is they're even though they might be calling President Trump's name or something else, they're just opposed to anybody being over them.
Right.
They're opposed, and they're opposed to God.
Yeah.
They don't want anybody or anything being over them, which is, if they don't know the Lord, then their Lord is the devil.
Right.
And that's where he went wrong. Who knows how long ago, he didn't want anybody being over him.
Right.
He rebelled and defied God and was cast out. And now all those that follow him, they have that same attitude. Nobody can tell me what to do
right.
about anything.
Right.
And the Bible, the New Testament tells us to show respect to our civil authorities.
Right.
And we do it out of respect for God. Doesn't mean they're always right about everything. Again, but the fear of God affects how you treat people who are in authority, even in natural civil things. So he says, they're presumptuous and they're self-willed and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're not afraid to run their mouth and find fault and criticize people in authority over them. And it doesn't just stop with the police or the mayor or the governor or the president. It goes all the way to the throne. They don't care who they insult, and they think they can say anything that crosses. These are the ungodly who have no fear of God. This is not us. How many think even when you don't like something, you're not always supposed to run your mouth? Huh? There are times you just need to be quiet.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes you just need to be quiet and say, "Yes, sir, I understand." Does that mean you agree with everything? No, you didn't say you agreed with everything. But if the Lord told you to submit to those that have the rule over you, did he say that or not?
Yes, he did.
To honor those, submit to those, respect those, then you do it out of respect for him. For him. And believing he's big enough, if you do what he told you to do and they need to be changed, he can do it. And if they need to be removed and replaced, he can do it.
Amen.
But he's not going to do it through you cussing and fighting and rebelling. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit's not going to be in that. He's not going to work with that. Said, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and they'll utterly perish in their own corruption. Jude, one chapter in Jude, but Jude 8 says the same thing, similar thing. And this I'm reading from the NIV. Jude, verse 8, in the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies. Jude 1, just chapter 1, verse 8, only one chapter. They reject authority, Jude I'm talking about. They reject authority and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. Now let's just stop right there. When did that happen? Well, what was going on? Well, it's when Moses died. The Lord took Moses' body. And he also took Elijah's body. And if you remember, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he talk to? Yeah. They left here in a different way. And so I reckon that when Moses died and his spirit and God, sent the angel to get him body and all,
right,
or to get him. And, one thing the Lord didn't want is people making a shrine out of Moses' burial place.
Right.
He didn't want that. And so nobody could find it. And so apparently the devil came and said, no, I have the power of death, and I have the right, and I claim this body. And the angel said, uh-uh. But the angel didn't speak to him in a slanderous accusation way. He just said, the Lord rebuke you.
Come on.
Now he's teaching us
yes.
how to talk
yes.
and how not to talk.
Yes.
I've heard people say, well, you know, I hate the devil. I think it's okay for me to cuss him out. You're not thinking right. He used to be the archangel who was covered in light. And he used to have a holy place and a great place. And he lost it because of his rebellion. And these are things above your pay grade. You know what I'm talking about? So what do you have to say about it? I don't have anything to say about it. I know God's going to take care of him.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
And I know he's not my Lord.
Right?
Right? And he's got no say-so in my life.
Right.
And I don't have any care for him. But it doesn't mean that I can run my mouth and say slanderous, abusive things about anybody.
That's right.
He didn't do that with the devil. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they don't understand. Jude 18, if you look down in the 18th verse, he said, I told you there will be mockers in the last time that will walk after their own ungodly lust. This is a big, don't miss this now. This is a big thing that'll help you identify the fear of the Lord. What it is, what it's not. Those who have no fear of God, they mock. They rail against. They speak abusively. They speak slanderously. And that can even lead to blasphemy. Why do you think the enemy pushes so much of the world to cuss? That's the enemy. These are wrong spirits that are pushing people to... When people are cussing up a storm, what are they expressing? What feelings and what spirit are they giving voice to and expressing? Anger, rage, disgust, disrespect. Can you see this? Belittling, berating, hate. We are the holy ones. God has sanctified us. We don't talk this way. Oh, that was too weak. I said we don't talk that way. Huh? The cussing, the railing, the slandering. Go to 2 Kings. I think I got time to give you one graphic example of this. It can be subtle, these things. And the problem is, if you grow up with this, if you grow up hearing this your whole life, you think it's normal. Right? It's also something we need to watch about TV and movies. Huh? What? The enemy is always trying to desensitize us. So that we hear so much of this stuff, it's no big deal to us. When you hear foul language, abusive language, slanderous, belittling talk, if you're right, it bothers your heart. You don't like it. It bothers your heart. You don't want to subject yourself to that until your heart doesn't bother you anymore. That means you have grown calloused and insensitive to the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, sometimes in the world you can't avoid it. You're around it, but especially when you're by yourself, you don't have to subject yourself to it, right? Non-stop for hours on end. It does matter.
Yes.
I said it does matter.
Yes.
That's right.
And it's not just all cussing, though. One thing you ought to watch about is sarcasm. The word sarcasm, if you look it up, the roots of it are actually mockery. It's mocking. And we live in a world where people call it humor. People call it comedy. And so much of the comedy is sarcasm. And it's biting disrespect. Backhanded stuff. That's disrespectful. And again, you can be around enough of it that you just don't notice it anymore. And that's not good. That means you're not sensitive spiritually like you need to be. You've gotten dull. No, we should say what we mean. We should mean what we say. And it should be good. The scripture said in Ephesians, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. When we talk to people, it's supposed to lift them up. It's supposed to encourage them. It's supposed to bless them, comfort them, strengthen them. I mean, I do that all the time when I'm going somewhere and I'm interacting with people. A lot of times before I get there, I say, Lord, give me words. Give me words that'll strengthen them, that'll help them, right? And then, but at the same time, I need to know what not to say. Because sometimes just bringing something up sets people's mind on the wrong track. And now you got to overcome it. Well, what if you hadn't brought it up to start with? Then you never had to deal with it, which is why you don't need to be running your mouth all the time. Amen. You need to be checking your heart. Right. Is that right? And before I start talking about that, wait just a second. Do I have a check about that? Or do I have a witness about it? And of course, if you do that, you're going to be talking less.
Right.
And checking more, which is good. That's a good thing.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible in Proverbs, it says, if you're continuously talking, there's no lack of sin. Is how it says it. So how you say something makes a big difference. In 2 Kings, the first chapter and the first verse. 2 Kings 1 and 1. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahaziah, who was king, fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. I fell, a month or so ago, but I ain't sick.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, he was bad in a bad way. He sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now he's supposed to be king of God's people. Go ask who? What? What are we talking about? What's our series? The fear of the Lord. So next verse. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, the prophet of God, arise and go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, well now, how would he have known where they were going to be? At what time? This is word of knowledge. This is word of wisdom. And so he was. He showed up at the spot and met them at the time. They didn't know they were going to meet him. And he said, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? What? We don't have a god anymore? No god in Israel? Now, let me just stop right here. What's the problem here? Nobody with the proper fear of the Lord is going to inquire of a false god and act like God doesn't even exist. The God your forefathers have a covenant with. So he has no fear of the Lord, which is why he's acting like he is. And of course, if he's acting that way, the people around him are going to be acting that way. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord. You didn't ask, but he got something to say to you. You will not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but you will surely die. Bye. And Elijah departed. Keep going. And the messengers turned back. See, they hadn't been gone long from when the king sent them out. They turned around, and when they came in the room, he said, "Why are you already back?" And they said, "Well, a man came up to meet us, and he said, 'Turn around, go back to the king that sent you, and tell him, thus says the Lord, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that you send to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up. You shall surely die.'" He said, "What kind of man was this? What did he look like? Told you these words?" They said, "Well, he was a hairy man." And all the hairy men said, "Amen." And he was girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, "It's Elijah. It's him." And so the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And they went up to him, and he, Elijah, was sitting on top of a hill. And they spoke to him. They said, "You man of God, come down." Now, what are we seeing here? A gross lack of the fear of the Lord. Both in the king inquiring of Beelzebub and not even trying to talk to God. And then when God sends his prophet and says this to him, do we see any humility? Do we see any repentance? We see him trying to exercise his civil power, and he's going to force this man and come and do what? He might have planned on executing him. "You man of God." Now here's the thing. Man of God is a respectful term.
Yes. Yes.
Unless you say it sarcastically.
Yes.
Are y'all with me or not? Can you say it in a way that is actually despising?
Yes.
And disrespectful? Yes. "All right, man of God, get down here." So Elijah said, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume you and your 50. And there was a rip and a sound and lightning, and fire fell out of heaven and evaporated them. I mean, there is heat and power in a bolt of lightning that's hotter than the surface of the sun. And God has the power to easily de-atomize you. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, and with a substantial multiple bolts of lightnings in the right spot, it's not even a greasy spot. They just gone. You're sitting there going, "Where'd they go?" Now, when the lightning fell, you probably ran inside. What are we talking about? God is a merciful, merciful God. And because he's merciful and gracious, and because he has such long patience and long suffering, and to him, 1,000 years. Is like a day.
Yes.
To him, even though people are so disrespectful, so blasphemous, so ungodly, he'll say, "Let's give them another half an hour."
Yeah.
which is decades to him. You see what I'm saying? Let's see. Let's tell him again. Let's warn him again. But what he will do here and there is make examples. And that's what we're seeing right here. This is an example that the Lord had recorded in the Word of God for all generations, for all time, that if you're smart, if you got any awareness, you should realize, You should pause, have a little pause and go, I need to watch how I talk. To God's anointed, to God's leaders, to people that represent Him. Well, the king is a slow learner. Is that right? Keep reading. He sent to him another captain of 50 with their 50. And he comes and shows up, and I guess Elijah's still on top of the hill. And he says, you got to see here, he's going to show I ain't scared. It's just because you're stupid. I ain't scared. Okay, so where's the other guys? Where's the other 50? They didn't come home. Nobody can find them. There's smoking stuff out there. He said, oh, man of God, come down quick. Didn't learn a thing. He's insisting. He added to it. Get down quick. You get, man of God, get down here now. Elijah said, if I am a man of God. Now, let's just start. All this language is significant.
Yes. Yes.
How did they address him? Man of God. But are they respectful?
No.
Derogatory.
Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Right.
Disrespectful. You know, they did exactly the same thing with Jesus, the Master, when he hung on the cross. Do you remember that? They railed against him and they said, if you are the Son of God, come down. Come down off of there. And it's just the mercy of God that God didn't just wipe out everybody in the surrounding 9 counties. He could. And really, it would be justifiable. Right? But he's merciful. But just setting some examples like we're reading now and then having it recorded for all generations, for all time, if you got any sense, if you can read and you're open, you'll say, that's what you don't do. Right? You don't do that. You don't talk with attitude and sarcasm against people that God has genuinely called and anointed, and against what he has said. See, who sent Elijah to those messengers? Who told him what to tell them? So this, Elijah didn't think this up. He didn't dream this up. So he says, man of God, get down here quick. Elijah says, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And I mean bolts of fire, which we'd call probably lightning, which is plasma, came down. And I mean when the dust cleared, no 50, no smart mouthed leader. Now you can see why some of Jesus' disciples, when the Samaritans didn't receive Jesus, they came on the side and they said, how about we do what Elijah did? You remember that's in the New Testament. They said, how about, Lord, you want us to call some fire down on these Samaritans? We got scripture for it. Got scripture for it. He said, no, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Come on.
He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives.
That's right.
I came to save them.
Hallelujah.
Does that mean this is wrong, what we're reading about? No, it's right. But it just means God is so merciful. And he just did this as an example. And, you know, with examples like this, you don't have to do them every year. But again, the king is a slow learner. Keep reading. He sent again a captain of a third 50 with his 50 because nobody volunteered. And the third captain of 50 came. And he ain't as stupid as the last two. He fell on his knees. Tell me, where is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Where does godly understanding and godly wisdom start? And you can see this right here. If he and his men have a shot at getting out of this alive, right? What needs to happen? You got to do something different, right, than the other guys did. And what did they not do? They didn't show respect. They showed disrespect. And he said, oh man of God, how many think that was a different man of God? I think so. Oh man of God. Huh? I pray you. We're not telling you. Pray means ask. I pray you. He not even, at this point, he not even asking him to come. He's just saying, can we live? Let my life and the life of these 50, your servants, be precious in your sight. Now, it's the word of God. That's why it's so perfect. But why does he use that word precious? Valuable. Can you see that? And are they treating him like he's important now? And then would God be able to? And even he's obligated himself, those that honor me. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me? Huh? So if they're treating him as valuable and important, then whether he understands what he's doing or not, he is doing exactly what God has told us to do. You treat me as important, I can treat you as valuable. You honor him, he honors you. He said, back it up again, verse 13. He said, oh man of God, I pray you. You know, it makes a lot of difference whether you're asking or telling. Yes. Doesn't it? Yes. Oh man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 of your servants be precious in your sight. The NIV says, man of God, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. Is he humbling himself? Is he submitting himself? The Catholic version says, man of God, do not choose to despise my life and the lives of your servants who are with me. What's the opposite of the fear of the Lord? Despising. Did the previous two come and despise the man of God? Yeah, and you see what they got. They're treating him like he's nothing and nobody. They're acting like God doesn't even exist in Israel. They're going and inquiring of Beelzebub. Huh? So the whole country has really gone off the rails. And so it's time for a demonstration. And only God knows when that is. And this is not something Elijah did. It's something God did. By his hand of his servant. And he said, let our lives be valuable in your eyes. Keep going. Keep reading. There came fire down from heaven. We heard about it. Burn up the two captains, the former 50s, with their 50s. Now let our lives be precious in your sight. And none of this, you got to come now. None of this, get down here. Man, then he hushed. They're all just listening,
right,
waiting. And the angel of the Lord,
all right,
comes.
Yeah.
Does it matter when you show the Lord some respect? Come on.
Yeah.
Huh? Can you get a different outcome than most people get? He comes and says, go down with them. Don't be afraid of them. So Elijah got up, went down with them. Don't you know they were relieved? Huh? Because they were really in a tight place. They can't just go back.
Right.
King has put the word on them. And he's got enough sense not to demand and try to push him. So they just wait. And the angel came and said, go with him. Don't be afraid. So he got up, went down with him to the king. They all come marching back to the king. And keep reading. And when he got to the king, that they've already lost, 102
right,
men? The message was exactly the same as before all this. He said, you sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you will not come off the bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. And all your disrespect and all your disrespectful soldiers and all your junk and all your insisting didn't change a thing. How many know it would have been a great time for the king to roll off the bed, get on his knees, come on y'all listening, get on his knees and repent and said, I should have never inquired of Beelzebub. That's stupid. That's idiocy. I repent myself in dust and ashes, and I beg the God of Israel, the holy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to have mercy on me and this people. And Lord, if you'll raise me up out of this, if you'll heal me, I will lead this people back to you.
Amen.
We will destroy all these idolatrous places, and we will worship in your temple, and we will come back to you, O God. How many think it could have been a different story? It could have been a different story. You respect him. You honor him. He'll honor you. And healing would have been part of that honor. But what happened? Keep reading. So, he died. That's 103. Died. People need to show some respect. Which Elijah had spoken, and the next king took over. Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you.